Amen. Alrighty, don't forget Saturday is a men's breakfast. Now let's get into the Word. We're in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. And I may not get through the whole thing, but we'll see. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. I call this the characteristics of an ambassador. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now you can probably see that why I think I may not get through this. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Let's pray. Jesus, it is all about you. There's not a person in this place that came to hear me speak. What they are longing for is to hear the voice of God. I pray today that the wisdom of heaven would flow through my lips. But I pray that the heart of these men and women would be open and receptive to receive what's going to be said. God, some of it may be a little offensive. Some may be hard. Some may be light. I really don't know. All I know is, God, we lend you our ear. And I pray, God, right now that the words of my heart and the meditations, Lord, of my mind would be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have another portion of scripture that I want you to look at on the wall. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through, I think it's verse 19 or 20. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So my thought today is, what does that look like? What does an ambassador look like? Let's first say, what is an ambassador? And as an ambassador is, let's just talk about America for a second. America has ambassadors all across the world. They are people just like you and me. They are Americans. They love America. And they go to another nation, but they're representing America. They speak what our president and council, what they would want them to speak. They are provided for by America. They don't get their money. They don't get anything from that other nation. But they are there living on a foreign soil, representing America. You are an ambassador for Christ. In other words, you're living in a foreign soil. This may feel like home, but it's not home. There's another home for us. You may think that you're going to work and being provided for by where you work. That's not true. God is our provider. He is providing everything you need, more than finances. Everything you need comes from heaven if you're a believer. Now you are representing Him on this earth. In other words, you may be the only Jesus people see. You may be the only words of life they hear. It matters. I've been saying that a lot lately. It matters what you think. It matters how you live. It matters what you say. You're representing Christ. See, when God sent Jesus to die for your sin, Jesus said, "It's finished. That work's been done." But yet the work continues. But Christ is no longer here. He left it to 12 men who raised up men. And today, that mantle is falling on us. So here's what I'm trying to say. What Jesus did is what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Say, "Pastor, I'm not comfortable with that." Yeah, me neither. I'm telling you. I am not comfortable with that. You know, he was infinite. He was brilliant. I mean, he had heaven behind him. So do you. Now, I don't put myself in that category of being brilliant. I promise you that. But you know what? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think maybe it's 1 Corinthians 2:16, "I have the mind of Christ." You see, when I get in a situation that I don't know what to do, that's a good time to pray. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't try to figure everything out. "Well, what can I do here?" Are you a pros and cons kind of guy? You know, you get your paper out and you make a big T and you put pros on one side and cons on the other. You're leaning to your own understanding. What do I do? Well, it looks good on paper. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, some things look good on paper, but when you go through it, it ain't so good. You may not know, but he does. Trust in the Lord. There are certain characteristics that all of us should have. And I'm not talking about how you wear your hair. I'm not talking about how you dress. I am talking about how you live. So he says some things that's really important. He said the very first thing, we preached the whole sermon on last week, let love be sincere. If there's one quality that should be in every believer's heart, it should be this thing of love. The greatest two commandments, when Jesus was asked, he says, I feel like Jesus, they probably left this out, but I feel like Jesus said, "Oh, that one's an easy one." You ask me hard questions all the time, but this one's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. But if we could just get Christians to do that, we would win the world to Christ. And then he goes on and he says, hate what's evil. You know, I have found that the church no longer hates the evil. Hate what's evil. Abhor it, I think is what one version says, and love what is good. So our brother sort of went to this when he said, he's talking about this new generation that's coming up, the people that he deals with. There's no morality. There's no right and wrong all the time. That's the way the young people are being brought up today. Guys, there is. We need to teach. You see, if I'm supposed to hate what's evil, someone's got to tell me what is evil. So if I listen to culture tell me what is evil, they'll say, "Well, sometimes that's evil, but other times it's okay." Well, you know what that does to my little brain? Confuses me. Because I don't like that nonsense. See, I'm sort of a black and white kind of guy. It's either right or it's wrong. Don't tell me it can be both. That confuses me. So where am I going to find out what am I supposed to hate and what am I supposed to like? The Word of God. See, the Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them by their truth. Thy Word is truth. And I find it's the only truth.
That's
Everything else is built on sinking sand. It just moves like the ocean today. But the Word of God is forever. It's for sure. You can build your life on it. Amen. My prayer lately has been, God, help me to hate what you hate. Help me to love what you love. Can I say it? Can I be really clear? God does not hate people. God loves people. Their lifestyles may not please them. And I know where your mind is going. Does God hate the homosexual? No. God loves the homosexual. Is that sin any worse than your sin of gossip? You know, isn't it easy to judge people that are not like us? Well, they're just not. There go I, except for the grace of God.
Amen.
It's a great line for us. There go I, except for the grace of God. You know, there's no good in us. You know, every one of us is selfish by nature. It's Jesus in us. Come on, if you have forgotten that, or if you moved away from that, if you begin to see yourself as good, you're fooling yourself. The good in you is Jesus. And he says, hate the evil. I hate the evil of this world. Who is the evil of this world? He actually is a person. It's the devil. I'm going to tell you, you think that the Bible says that we don't wrestle flesh and blood. You see, the evil that you're supposed to hate is not that person. It's the evil spirit that's in them. It's what's motivating them to do evil. Is there people? We got the chief of police here today. He could come up and give you some knowledge, lay some knowledge on you about what happens in this county. And you would be surprised. There is nothing that's happening in Chicago that's probably not happening in Henry County. It may be under the radar a little bit more. It's not hitting the news, but it happens here. Why? Because evil abounds. But grace does so much more abound, right? Oh, thank you, God, for his grace. I'm not so sure. I think that Christians are buying into the lie of society. You remember how this word started in chapter 12? We're still continuing that same thought. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The Word of God. See, God says, you may come to God and say, I just don't know what's evil. No, I don't know what's good. And he says, get in my Word. I'll tell it to you. I'll show you. I will show you. The Bible says the ways of man are right in his own eyes. You see, if it's left up to me, I'm going to do what I think is right. And if I'm not careful, I'll take advantage of you because I'm selfish by nature. It's getting awful lonely up here. Some of you are thinking, I'm not for sure why he's preaching. He needs to probably be on the altar to repenting. I know who I am. I also know who I am in Christ. And I'm so thankful that I was made a new creation in Christ. I'm thankful that the old things are passed away. I'm thankful that not only did he remove the sin, but he removed the shame. I don't have to walk in that knowledge of what I used to do. I'm a new creation in Christ. And God left me with a ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. And what does that mean? That's what Christ did. Our lineage, our communication line was broken with God until Jesus died. And Jesus restored our communication with God. We can go to Jesus. We can become like him. And then we can communicate with our Father in heaven. Right? Now, you're to do that. Now, no one's being calling on you to die on the cross because that's been done. The price has been paid, but the world needs to know how good God is. The grace of God. He says this, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Why? Because the world is getting less affectionate with each other. Right? So we have been set apart from this world. When the world looks at us, they should say, boy, those guys are different. Well, they probably do say that. But they ought to say, it's a good different, right? Those people really seem to love each other. Woo, come on, folks. Do you know there's about 42,000 denominations in this world? What's that all about? Well, God's a little schizophrenic. No, he's not. The last thing that Jesus prayed for you and I was that we would be unified. So what did the devil go after? Our unity. What does he go after today? Our unity. He is trying to divide us every day. He tries to divide husbands and wives. He tries to divide brothers and sisters. He tries to divide churches. He tries to divide organizations. That's his business, is dividing, splitting us off. Because Jesus said, I want you to be unified. I want you to be one like my Father and I are one. So the devil went after the very words of Christ. Don't let him do it. It ain't worth it. So you don't get your own way this time. Who cares? You know, we couldn't decide on the color of carpet, so we just pulled the carpet up. isn't it amazing what we get mad about? Come on, it ain't worth it. You know, the one thing that I keep hearing preached a lot is time is getting short. You hear that? Been hearing that a lot, hadn't you? Time's getting short. I think God's sending us a message. Time is short. Don't let the little things disturb you. Let's walk in peace with all men. Let's be loving. Let's be affectionate. You know what that means? I don't really like it. I'm not into PDA at all. I mean, even sometimes when the Treva loves to hold hands walking, and even that, sometimes like... and she's shaking that head. We ought to be affectionate with each other. There's one verse in the Bible, I don't know how it got in there, but it says, greet your brother with a holy kiss. Now, I'm so thankful. I believe that was cultural, and we are not of that culture. So let me just say this. Greet your brother with a holy handshake, a holy knuckle bump, a holy hug. That's far enough for me, as far as I'm concerned. What I'm trying to say is we ought to let love shine.
Yes, amen.
Let's be affectionate towards each other. So I worked with senior citizens for 21 years. You guys know that before I started pastoring. And one things that I studied is older people, especially when they're alone, when they're in their house, when maybe when they're in the nursing home, nobody touches them. You know, they've done studies about not touching babies and how they have a failure to thrive when they're not touched. You know, sometimes I think our older senior citizens may have a failure to thrive because nobody touches them.
That's right.
My wife is so much better at this than I am. I love it when she goes with me for hospital visitations and nursing home visitations. She will sit there and hold their hand the whole time. Oh, Jesus, deliver me. She just loves them. She just loves them. Now, I love them. I just have a hard time showing that. So this verse may not convict you. I don't think all these will convict you. This one gets me. I need to do a better job of this. I need to be more affectionate. Let's move on. I'd rather preach to you as preach to me. He says, in honor, giving preference to one another. You know, another thing I think that our society is losing is honor. We've lost this. You know, I'm so thankful that you had the veterans identify themselves. We owe those men and women who have served our nation, we owe them honor. We don't realize it, but every day that you wake up, there are literally thousands of people that are serving you. We call them ambulance drivers and policemen and firemen. And, I just got to keep coming down there. I know I don't like to do this all the time. I just want you to see how everything that God says is being challenged today. God says to honor them. So what does society do? It says we hate police. Let me just state it really clear. Not in this house we don't. We love police. We love the military. We love those in authority. We love those people that are protecting us. They're not our enemies, they're our friends. And if the church don't speak up, the world will. Most of you know, I have honored Brother David and Julia, and it's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. 50 years ago, they pastored this church. That deserves honor. They paved the way for us. We got Brother Thomas and Sister Thomas back there. They didn't pastor this church, but they pastored most of their life. Arthur pastored a Presbyterian church. God forgive him. No. Arthur and Mary deserve our honor. You know, we ought to just... It almost ought to be a competition on honoring. Well, I honor you for the sacrifice. No, no, I honor you, Pastor. No, no, you get what I'm saying? That's the way honor works. And the world will see. So let me tell you something. Honor doesn't gossip about those in leadership. Honor doesn't talk wicked about them. Honor loves. Honor respects. Honor builds up. You see, sometimes I think we may even forget what the actual word means. He says, not lagging in diligence. Now that word lagging, some version says not being slothful or not being lazy in diligence. The word of God says in Galatians 6:9, this word has been coming over in my mind so much lately. Let us not be weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. How's your diligence? How you doing in this? Do you know that Jesus can lift you up out of the pit? Whatever pit you were in, God can pull you out of that pit. But He won't pull you out of your lazy boy. You got to do that. God never saved one person to set them on a church bench for the rest of their life. God saved you because there's a purpose in you. Amen. Now, God loves everybody. God wants to save everybody, but He doesn't save you just where you can sit down. The church has got lazy. We've got fat with the Word of God. Who are you giving the Word to? Ooh, I wasn't expecting to say that. Thank you, Jesus. See, if I'm giving it to you, who are you giving it to? You need to be giving it to somebody. God's into rivers, not dams. You heard me say that many times. God's into rivers, not dams. Whatever He does for you, share it. Give it out. Freely give it. Don't be lazy in the house of God. Don't be lazy at work. I believe Christians ought to be the hardest workers in this world. I believe people, even though you can't ask in a job interview, but they ought to be trying to get to this. Are you a believer? Why would you ever want to know that? Because believers are hard workers. They're diligent. They show up. And they work from the time they start till the time they finish. If that's 8 to 5 or 7 to 7, work. Amen. Say, Pastor, you've gone from preaching to meddling. Maybe so. But you know, sometimes I think the obvious needs to be mentioned from the house. He says, be fervent in spirit. You know, the word fervent does not mean loud. You know, I know you hear me pray. You know, probably the rest of Paris hears me pray because I tend to scream at God when I pray. You know, so I guess I think he's hard hearing. He's not. And fervent doesn't mean loud. You know what it means in the actual Greek? It means to boil. So can I ask you? Is your spiritual life boiling? Is that convicting? That's convicting, isn't it? Are you the hottest you've ever been for Christ? If not, you're in a backslidden condition. Say, are you telling me I'm going to hell? No, I'm not telling you you're going to hell at all. I'm just saying if you're not hotter today than you've ever been in your life, fix it. Because we don't need lukewarm Christians. We need them boiling. Amen. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's why I'm saying heaven's not quiet. Neither should church be. You see, church is a place where we come to get our shot of energy. Right? It's a refilling station. Really is what it is. It's a hospital for sick. Do you know sometimes we want to tell the sick to get out of here? No, if they're sick, they need to come in. Now, if you got a fever, stay at home. No. We'll pray for you at the door or over the phone. Is that okay? You get what I'm saying? Why is it that when we get depressed, when we have anxiety, when we have a sickness in the head, so to speak. I'm not talking about crazy. I'm just saying mentally, yeah, we're just, you know what we do? We stay away from the body. We don't come to church. And we definitely don't admit it. Because when someone says how you're doing, you know the answer to that. Oh, I'm doing great. My life has fallen apart. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. You know, all hell has broke out against me, but I'm doing wonderful. Liar. Why can't we be honest? Why can't I go to Courtney and say, Courtney, pray for me. I've really been discouraged lately. You know, pastors get discouraged. Every Monday, usually. I'm serious. The devil hits you on Monday. Usually it's Sunday afternoon. The devil says things like this. You just made a fool of yourself. And then nobody listening to you. Ain't nothing happening in your church. You know, the Bible says something so important about David. Remember King David? They went away and the enemy slipped in, destroyed their city and stole their wives and their children. They come back to their town, Ziklag, and everything was gone. And they sat down. You know what these warriors did? They sat down and cried. Have you ever had a day where you just wanted to cry? Let me just ask the men. Men, have you ever had a day where you just wanted to cry? It's okay. That's okay. I know big boys don't cry. Well, that's just a lie. Godly men weep. You know, there's something healing sometimes about just crying. Just letting the Lord wash over your soul. That's healing. It's okay. They wept until they couldn't weep anymore. That's what the Bible said. And then you know what happened? Typical men, they got mad. But they got mad at David. And they thought about stoning him. Now I know churches that do that to their pastors. Well, you're picking on the wrong guy. It's the devil, not David, not your pastor, it's the devil. But you know what? There's just like three words. It's so powerful. It says this, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know how he did that? Through prayer. Through getting alone with God. You know, sometimes nobody's around to lift you up. So do it yourself. If we would talk less and pray more, we'd be in a lot better shape. Pray. That's why I love that simple song, I Exalt Thee. I mean, I can remember three words. I exalt thee. See, I want that to be the anthem of my life. I just lift you up, Jesus. When all hell breaks loose, I lift up the name of Jesus. You ever had a day like that? And all hell seems to break loose? When he comes in like a flood. When that old devil, when Slewfoot comes in like a flood, God raise up a standard. Amen. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I'm going to tell you the first time I prayed that was the day after my mom died. I was sitting in church, barely able to hold it together. And that word came to my mind. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me. Hallelujah. See, I don't know what you're going through today, but I know in a crowd this big, there are some that's on top of the mountain and there's some that feels like they're below it. And I want you to know God sees you. God knows you. He knows what you're going through. And it might be time for you to say, lead me to the rock. Set my feet on the firm foundation, Jesus. Help me. God hears those prayers. Are you fervent in spirit serving the Lord? Say, what do you mean, Pastor, when you say serving the Lord? If you're a nurse, serve the Lord being a nurse. If you're the chief of police, serve the Lord being the chief of police. Here's what I'm not saying. You, every one of you, need to be a pastor. That's nonsense. Serve the Lord in what you're doing. If God calls you to be a mechanic, you're not just a mechanic. You're His ambassador. God has not put you where He puts you just so you can make a living. God says, I need a light in Dana, so He puts Janice there. I need a light in the hospital, so He puts you over there. I need a light in the courthouse. He puts my wife there. Before she took that job, Robbie Mitchell said the Lord gave him a word. Said, God's putting you in the heart of the city to win the heart of the city. Something like that. To win the heart of the people. In Murray, everybody knew me because I was in the paper a lot and, you know, was running a nonprofit. Grew up there, went to high school there. A lot of people knew me. In Paris, the only people that know me are you. But when we go out in town, they all know Treba. Man, they speak to her and you can tell she is winning the hearts of people. Why? Because Treva's Treva. Treva's a light for Jesus. And I promise you, she would rather me talk ugly about her from the pulpit than talk nice about her. She's more used to that, I guess. I don't know. She said, "You've embarrassed me when you talk nice." Isn't that pitiful? Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You know, Shay Smith is a physical therapist. She lays hands on people every day of her life. You know, when my son was going through medical school, and they after medical school, you have like a practice session. You have to go to different areas to see if you like them, if you're good at them. You learn a lot from like on-the-job training. And he was in the emergency one day, in the emergency room, and a young man came in, and that young man coded, and they were, and I'll make a long story short, but my son got up on the table on top of his chest and began to do compressions. And my son began to speak. And he said, "You will not die, but you'll live and praise the Lord. You'll sing of the glory of God. You will not die, but you'll live and proclaim the glory of God. You will not die, but you'll live." Bam! The boy that was dead came back to life. A perfect sign of healing. You say, "Man, that kid was lucky." I don't believe in luck. That word come from Lucifer. I have tried my best to remove the word luck from my vocabulary. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. See, God has divine appointments for you every day of your life. Lead me, God. Make my way acceptable in you, right? Fervent in spirit. The most exciting life that you can live is the life lived for Christ. But every day when you get up, say, "Devil, get ready, because here I come. Jesus, help me, because I need your help." Don't try to do it alone. Ask the Lord for his help, fervent in spirit. And then he says, I'm going to have to quit. He says, rejoicing in hope. What is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of something good happening in your life. The confident expectation of something good happening to you. Come on, folks. What if the Lord gave you what you're hoping for right now? What you're believing for? What if the Lord says, "Okay, here's what you're believing. Bam, there it is." Some of you would be dead. Most of you would just be empty. Why? Because you're not believing. There's no hope. We should be the most hopeful people in this world. Why? Because God is on your side. What do you come to? If you just come to church because it's Sunday, shame on you.
That's true.
Say, "Pastor, we could never make you happy." I want you to get it. Come to church with expectations that you are meeting with God. God's been in this house today. He still is. God is moving. What are you believing for? Come on. Would you say, if you got honest with me, would you say, "I am so hopeful. I dare not." I think we've bought into this world. I think that we've allowed the philosophies of the world to get into us. We don't feel like there's any hope. Can I just say this? The church is not represented by a donkey or an elephant. We're represented by the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and there is always hope. My hope does not reside in the White House. My hope is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to tell you, He will move heaven and earth if He has to for you. We should be hopeful. So when that depression comes against you, you say, pack your bags. I'm not believing you. I have to talk to myself all the time. Yeah, I can believe that, Pastor. I don't answer myself, but I talk to myself. Rejoicing in hope. I have hope in God. I believe God is doing something mighty in Paris, Tennessee. And I'm going to state one more thing. I think our brother's job back here as chief of police is going to get easier, not harder. Because when this city is transformed, a lot of his problems are going to go away. Hebrews 10:36 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You know what this is saying? With God, there's usually a waiting period. You pray, you receive. And sometimes that may take years. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes God is gracious and He puts them together like that. And that's the kind of God I like. But I'm going to tell you, I said this in Sunday school. God is rarely early, but He's never late. You pray. You have confidence. You're believing. God's going to answer. This is the part right here. This period right here is critical. You got to have patience. What does that mean? It means I don't lay down my hope. I don't lay down my faith. I don't doubt God in that period. Even if it takes a year, a few years, I'm still trusting. I'm still believing. And I'm still speaking to that mountain. You have need of hope. You have need of patience. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to stop right here. We'll pick up the rest maybe next week. Would you stand with me? I was talking to my friend Arthur. And Arthur pastored for a long time. And he says, Eric, you're always calling people to the altar. And he said, I don't think people know what that is. I don't think they know what that means. The altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place where you die. In other words, see, I believe the Holy Spirit has talked to you today. I believe the Spirit of God has challenged you on a few things. Maybe a few beliefs that you've had. And so you've got a choice now to make. You can keep believing what you've been believing. You can keep doing what you've been doing. Or you can choose to let that die. You say, God, I'm going to surrender those thoughts to you. And I'm going to choose to think your thoughts. Some of the things I've talked today are not common knowledge anymore in the body of Christ. We're missing out. Let's get back to the original intention of the Word of God. Let's do what He says to do. You know, yesterday I told you we went out and just talked to a few people, just tried to love on them. And we do it to help people. But you know who it really helps? It's us. I mean, we just, when you do what God says to do, He's got a blessing in it for you. He blesses you because you've been obedient to do what He said. Got a young brother up here, Vito, who's 18 years old. Went out a few weeks and Pastor David led him to Jesus. He's been in this church ever since then. You know what he's doing? He's sitting my Sunday school class today. He's memorizing the Word of God. Julia, it's that card you gave him. He quoted it by memory today in Sunday school. You mean God can use something like just a card with a handwritten verse on it? Absolutely. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So I believe that God wants to just... It's like inflating a balloon. I believe God wants to do that to you with hope. Where's your hope at? See, if your hope's in the stock market, God help you. God help you. If your hope is in the president that we have today, or the president that we had last term coming back, God help you. I promise you, our help is from the Lord, not from a man. Now, did God use President Trump? Yes, I believe He did. Will God use President Biden? If we pray. Are you willing to pray for President Biden instead of talk about him? Can I just say something that really disturbs me? It's Christians saying, that's not my president. Yes, it is. You may not agree with everything that he does and says. You may not agree with anything he does and says. And it doesn't matter. You think you're right in everything you do and say? Pray for him. He needs the wisdom of heaven to break through. Every man in that office does. Every woman in that office does. Our help is from the Lord. Our help is from the Lord. May God infuse you with hope today. We're going to end this service with prayer. And I'm going to invite you to the front of the church. Say, why would I do that, Pastor? I think it's a step of faith. And I think it's a step telling the Lord, I've heard you today. And I know you talked to me. And I want you to know, you can do it at your seat. But I think when you take a step, it's something about sealing it in your heart. God, I want to be fervent. Come on, church. We're not fervent anymore. Serving the Lord. Now, we're fervent about a ball game. Getting that meddling spirit again, ain't I? We'd be fervent about our golf game. Are you fervent about serving Him? If you would like to just, we're not going to delay this, but if you'd like to take a step of faith and just come and stand in this front up here as to tell the Lord, Lord, I heard you. And I'm responding today. And I'm asking you, help me in this area. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord brought to you, help me in this area. I'm going to sing this song. I'll pray. And we'll dismiss. Denny will dismiss us. Denny, if you'd like to come up, you're welcome to come up.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
sing it one more time. Probably somebody standing beside you. I want you to just lay your hand on their shoulder. I want you to pray for you, but I want you to pray for them too. Father God, we come before you today, and I'm so thankful for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that brought the Word alive today in our heart, God. I thank you, Lord, that you care about us, Lord. You love us. You love us so much that you don't want to leave us the way we are. You want us to be your ambassadors. You want us to represent you in the same spirit, in the same mindset that you were here. God, we have found that we are short on a few things today. The Spirit of God has said, you need this, boy. You need this. You need to change the way you think. You need to change the way you talk. God, we have responded to the Word today, and we pray, we lay our hearts on your altar, and we say, heal us, God. Heal us. Change us. God, we long to be fervent in spirit serving you. We long to be hopeful. We long to be loving. We long to represent you well. God, I know you won't lift us up out of our lazy boy, but you deliver us from the pit of despair. God, I believe there's some that may need a hand out of that chair today. Lord, would you just extend your hand to them and lift them up out of that lazy boy? Show them they've got lazy in Zion, that you are not finished with them. You still long to do a work in them. God, we desire, as long as we walk on this earth, to be hardworking, fervent, boiling up for you, Jesus. Set our hearts to fire, God. Blow on the coals of our heart today and reignite what you started many years ago. God, I pray, Lord, whether you come in 10 years or whether you come tomorrow, let us finish strong, God. We want to finish strong so we hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, how I long to hear your words. God, we need you. I pray right now for every person in this place. Restore hope, Jesus. Restore hope. God, let them know you're not finished with them. Let them know, Lord, that you would move heaven and earth if you need to for their sake, God. God, let them hang on to hope. Hallelujah. Breathe the breath of life in this place, Jesus. May we receive it through the Holy Spirit today. We breathe in your presence, your spirit today. Have your way in us, God. And Lord, together we claim Paris, Tennessee. We claim Henry County for the kingdom of heaven. Father, transform our city in Jesus' name. And may the work start with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Denny, where are you? There you are, brother. God bless you.
God is good, is he not? Amen. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.